this point. Go ask for the call, somebody. Boys and girls and children of all ages, it's me, the one and only George Strong J. That's right. You don't check your time, your day, or whatever. Don't check the date. This is Wednesday night, and I am hosting Oh You Didn't Know Radio right here on the PWP Radio Network. And I'm here as always with my main man. Now, I'm going to be a little nicer than Seth is on a weekly basis. I'm not going to play the Ass Man music, but I'm going to give him a good intro, something a little bit different. So this goes out to my man, John.
Nice.
That theme gives me chills to this day. And my man John in the house. What's going on, John?
What's up, man?
Not a lot, but we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got tons to talk about. We're going to get the big news with CM Punk. Got a little bit to talk about with John Cena, the Rey Mysterio sudden disappearance. How about what's going on with TNA and their pay-per-view situation? But before we get to all that, it's time for little plugs on my part. I want everybody listening to go check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. That's one word, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Give us a like. Check it out. We got tons of people that talk on a daily basis. Funny pictures, great opinions from a lot of fans around the wrestling world. And also follow us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. The Twitter is connected to the Facebook page, so you can also get all the updates that way. And I cannot go on without announcing, Seth did it last night, but I'm going to do it again right here tonight on Oh You Didn't Know, the official categories for the first ever Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Year-End Awards. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, myself, Jersey Strong J, and my main man, Will TLD Vafidez, will be producing the first ever episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV that you'll be able to find on YouTube in the next month or so, and we will have the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Awards. We're going to give them out, and we need your vote. So without further ado, I'm going to announce to you the categories. Category one, Wrestler of the Year, male and female. Next one is Tag Team of the Year, male and female. Match of the Year, Feud of the Year, Pay-Per-View of the Year, TV Show of the Year, Promotion of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Commentator of the Year, Most Memorable Moment of the Year. That's going to be a very interesting one because there's a lot of memorable moments this year. Surprise Superstar of the Year and Champion of the Year. That's 12 categories. I need your vote. You can hit me up on Twitter with your votes at PW Powerhouse. If you want the categories again, go over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com where they are listed. And as always, you can hit me up wherever you want. I'm accessible on Facebook. I'm accessible all over the internet at any time. Hit me up whenever you need to. But let's get right into it. John, we got a lot to talk about, so you kick it off. What do you want to talk about first, my man?
Well, I guess we'll recap. I mean, everything's pretty much out there. There's not too much to add to it, but recap the CM Punk situation that started realistically about 4 to 5 weeks ago. I mean, everyone's storyline is going to tell you it started Monday night with the table spot. However, it's been about 4 or 5 weeks that Punk's been working with the knee. The knee's been bothering him. He had a little tear in his meniscus. Basically what happened was it was starting to really lock up on him. And Monday night they told him, you know, we'll get you on a plane, let's get you out to go see Dr. James Andrews, which when everyone hears that name assumes the worst. And they basically decided to do the surgery. It was a minor, very minor procedure. Punk was released from the hospital last night, up walking on his own. No crutch, no cane, no nothing. And basically, you know, Punk took it upon himself to, you know, work through it. He felt as the champion he needed to carry the company. Punk is ready to go as of now if they needed him to. If they needed him to work weekend house shows, he probably would. He offered to work the TLC pay-per-view. It was their decision to hold him back because they have more important things in store for him. Obviously, the Royal Rumble and you would think WrestleMania. He will be on TV Monday night. They're going to work it into the storyline. They're going to make it out to be worse than what it really is. So when he comes out probably in a wheelchair or on crutches, you know, it's not that severe. It's going to be pure storyline with it. And basically the news we got last night, I'm sorry, Jack.
I was going to say, it's going to be a great way for him to garner more heat on the whole angle with Ryback, him having an injury and, you know, possibly making it more severe than it actually is.
Oh, yeah, he's going to totally milk it. And, you know, for everyone who says Ryback's lost a little the last 2 weeks by getting, you know, beat up by the Shield, Ryback gets it back with this. I mean, this just happened to be a fluke, but also there have been a few reports that have come out that said the actual end of Raw was done in anticipation of this, with the Shield running in, Hell No running in, and that brawl that kind of happened with that. So, you know, as we know, Punk is out of TLC. It's been replaced with the six-man Ryback and Hell No against the Shield in a TLC match that can be won by pinfall or submission. I think this is going to be a good way for the Shield to go over where no one will get hurt. Obviously, Kane or Daniel Bryan get pinned. And you know what? WWE always likes to do a big first Raw of the year. Don't be surprised if you don't see that Punk Ryback TLC match happen on the first Raw of 2013.
Wow, that would be interesting. That would be very good to add that to an actual TV show. That would pop the rating for sure, because when the new year rolls around, it seems like this time of the year, the WWE ratings always seem to lag because of Monday Night Football and the various other competition they have on Monday nights. But the best way to get those ratings back is to do something exciting and fun on live TV, and I think having that match on Raw would be a great way to do it.
Yeah, the last couple of years, their first shows of the year have meant something. I mean, you had the Bret Hart return on the first show of 2010, so you also had Cena, Sheamus in a rematch on that show from TLC, so they have had that tradition of having the first shows of the year be a little heavy loaded, so this would be a good way to do it. And, you know, Punk can retain, however, you know, and still head into the Rumble just fine.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's kind of disappointing to me that CM Punk isn't going to be able to compete, but on the flip side of it, it's smart by WWE. They want him to hold on to this belt and stay strong. And I feel a lot of people don't. A lot of people still think The Rock is going to become the new WWE champion at the Royal Rumble. But I personally feel that CM Punk is going to retain the championship and go into WrestleMania as the champion. But either
way, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, either way, they want him to be ready and available for, you know, TLC, or not TLC, for the Royal Rumble and for WrestleMania, like you said. But how about the announcement of the new main event at the TLC pay-per-view? Now, I'm not sure if this match is going to go on last on the show. That hasn't been confirmed yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sheamus and Big Show go on last, or maybe even Cena and Ziggler. But it's going to be a six-man TLC match for the first time in history. We're going to have Team Hell No and Ryback going up against The Shield, and it'll be the first time in WWE history, besides in the various video games they have on PlayStation 3 and Xbox and whatnot, where the TLC match is going to be determined by pinfall or submission. So that should be interesting. What are your thoughts on that, John?
I think it's going to be good. I mean, take Ryback. I mean, who knows what he'll bring into it. He'll bring that vicious level to it. But you know, it'll be good. Ryback will be good. He'll hit the big spots. You know, he'll powerbomb somebody through a table. He'll blast people with chairs. Kane has always been good in these kind of matches. Bryan should be able to get some spots. And Rollins should be phenomenal, you know, with some good spots. Ambrose, I'll be disappointed if Ambrose doesn't explode on somebody with a chair, just with his, you know, with the way his character's based. And the one guy who I'm really looking to look forward to seeing, and only because he's really impressed me, is Reigns. I think this is a no-lose situation. I also think this is a great way for the Shield to get some heat. I really think they're going to go over. And it's the type of thing with the pinfall or submission stipulation. Someone can get rolled up, you know, handful of tights, whatever. That maybe you even get a Punk run in, you know, to help these guys out. And, you know, no one loses heat on it. No one loses momentum. So, you know, yeah. I think it's going to be good. As far as what goes on last, that's a damn good question. I guess it's all going to depend what they want to do with Ziggler that night.
Yeah, I'd put Cena and Ziggler on last just because, you know, Ziggler is the type of guy who can perform in any situation. He could put on the match of the night in any situation. I don't care what you're talking about, pay-per-view, WrestleMania, whatever. He'll give you his best shot at having the match of the night. And if you put him on a main event of a pay-per-view, I think it's going to really help him, not only his confidence, but the way the fans view him as a future world title holder in the future. And it also depends on the finish of Big Show and Sheamus, because if there's any way that, say, Sheamus goes over and you get the big pop from the crowd and he's the World Heavyweight Champion again, then you could have Ziggler come out, cash in, and possibly become new World Heavyweight Champion.
He can't. Money in the Bank's on the line.
No, but I'm saying, what if it doesn't go on last? What if Ziggler wins the briefcase, you know, earlier in the night?
Ziggler doesn't go on last. Okay.
Yeah, say Big Show and Sheamus go on last. Crowd gets the big happy pop at the end. Ziggler cashes in his briefcase somehow. Maybe Big Show knocks out Sheamus because he's pissed after the match. And Ziggler comes out and wins the belt. Because just think of it this way. I remember the last time a major superstar was hurt before pay-per-view. And if my brain on wrestling isn't as great as it once was because the business moves so quick now. But I believe it was 2007, I want to say, like Unforgiven, where John Cena got hurt on the Raw before Unforgiven. And he was scheduled to wrestle Randy Orton, or was that No Mercy?
Yep.
I can't remember the show.
That was No Mercy, but you're right.
No Mercy. Okay.
It was the Raw before. No, you're right on the money with it.
Yeah, so WWE went into that pay-per-view and pulled some crazy shit with Triple H winning the title. excuse me, I got a little cough and fight.
Mm-hmm.
Defending the title like twice in the night, whatever. Randy Orton somehow becomes a champion later on.
Triple H wrestled three times. He wrestled three times that night.
Exactly. So that's some crazy bullshit that WWE pulls out of their hat in situations like this. And don't be surprised if something absolutely crazy happens that you don't see coming at TLC.
I'm all for it.
They're in the Barclays Center for the first time. So that's another thing. You know, they might want to make
that crowd is going to be interesting. I'll tell you that much. That's going to be a very interesting crowd next Sunday at the Barclays. I would not be surprised if that's a pro-heel crowd.
Oh, me too. So in Brooklyn. Are you going, Tom?
No, I'm not. I'm not. So I wanted to, but I'm not going to TLC. I would love to maybe. I know towards the end of the year. I know they're doing some stuff, but I don't know. I probably won't go to anything till next year.
Yeah, I had the Becco and Will, and I was ready to man up and go to the show if they did book CM Punk versus Mick Foley in a TLC match. I was going to go because I'd pay to see that match, but anything else they really have in this card, I really, you know, I don't feel like going out of my way to see. I'll just watch it the night after for free or whatever, you know. But, regardless, I think it's going to be a solid show. But,
yeah. If the cards lined up really good, and even with losing, you know, a tag title match, you know, that was rumored, you know, you still got a good enough card where you're going to get some good stuff on that show, even without Punk on it. This will be the equivalent, and here's the ironic part. Cena didn't wrestle at TLC last year. Punk's not wrestling at TLC this year. It's the type of show where you can, I guess, through certain just weird circumstance, you could, you know, have a big name lay off that card and still have it flow. I thought last year's TLC was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, that was CM Punk in a triple threat ladder match, correct?
Yep.
With Miz and
yep.
Del Rio.
Miz and Del Rio.
All right, John, we got a lot more to get to. Fill us in on the situation with Rey Mysterio not appearing on Monday Night Raw or the house shows over the weekend.
Okay, so Mysterio didn't do Raw. He worked the house shows this past weekend, but he's pulled off everything this week and this weekend. No one seemed to know why up until about 5 o'clock this afternoon. It turns out, thank God, it's not a wellness issue. It's not an injury. Ray's just got some personal stuff going on, asked for a little, you know, time off. He is listed back for events at the end of the month. So whatever the issue is, it looks like it's not going to be a full-time situation that's going to take him out of action for a while. But there was it kind of flew under the radar yesterday when the Punk stuff came out with his knee. But, luckily, especially since he's a two-strike guy and with his injury history, it won't be – it's not nothing anything major with Ray. So it looks like he'll be back end of the month. Maybe him and Kara pick up then, or him and Kara will begin the build to their WrestleMania match.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Definitely good news. You never know with Rey Mysterio, especially with his track record in the last few years with getting injured, and nobody really knows about it until the last minute and all the wellness violations. I believe if he has one more wellness violation, he's done, right?
Yeah, him and Orton are two strike guys.
Well, I think Orton's the type of guy that they'll probably protect, but I could see Ray being a scapegoat for them. They'll probably throw him right under the bus if he fails another one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Orton technically had three, but something happened in 06 where it turned out he had, I don't know the whole story, but it ended up he was able to produce the prescription. It was that weird suspension right after WrestleMania, and then it was first listed as a wellness thing, then it got changed to the fact that he, like, destroyed a hotel room in Europe, but, you know, yeah, you're probably right. They would probably let Orton slide before getting rid of him.
Yeah, Orton's the type of guy that he's like their cash cow in a sense where they always fall back on him. He hasn't really proven himself as a voting star or a buy rate getter or anything like that, but they always seem to fall back on Orton if they're ever in a bind or have any kind of issues. And,
exactly.
They won't risk him heading to any kind of competition like TNA or whatever. So that's good news on the Rey Mysterio front. Hopefully he'll be back in action pretty soon in some kind of filler match on TLC or next week on Raw or whatever, whatever the case may be. So what else you got for us tonight, John?
All right, well, Punk's not the only one working through some issues. John Cena is working sick, had a bad case of food poisoning over the weekend, manned up, and did the weekend shows as well as did Raw Monday night. So they kind of had kind of dodged the bullet, you know, here with Punk and Cena. And it's funny, you know, a couple weeks ago people were saying, gee, what would happen if anything ever happened to those guys? Well, we almost got a taste of it, you know, if the Punk thing was a little worse and if Cena couldn't go Monday. But, yeah, Cena's working just through some illness, so he's fine now, so he'll be good to go with everything. They have decided to put on hold the Cena-AJ storyline in light of the fact that the picture with him and Nikki Bella that came out last week. If you notice, Monday night Cena did his match with Sheamus, and that was really it. AJ did her match with Tamina, and that was it. There was no interaction between the two of them, and it looks like that story's been put on hold for a while now.
I don't think it's on hold. I think they're just scrapping it all together. They're just going to forget about it because WWE has done this before in the past. Another situation where they're going to the well again and just saying, you know, fuck this. We don't really need to go on with this story. The story pretty much came to an end anyway. I mean, where else can you really go unless they decide to bring it out for the pay-per-view? Like, I'm a talking to in the chat here, if you're listening, please go into the chat room or call in, as a matter of fact, at 760-888-5749. But Inside Wrestling, another radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, and he's predicting that AJ is going to help Ziggler get the briefcase inadvertently. You know, AJ fights Vicky outside the ring. Cena goes to help AJ in some way, shape, or form, and Ziggler gets the briefcase. That's his prediction on what's going to happen at TLC.
Yeah, I kind of think, especially what happened 2 weeks ago, when he was like, oh, it would never happen, and she gave him that look like, what? Like, what do you mean it would never happen? You know, little stuff like that kind of got me thinking, yeah, she's gonna cost them. But, yeah, I could also see the indirect way where, exactly, like they said, you know, maybe she starts brawling, maybe Tamina comes out and Cena gets distracted, and next thing you know, Ziggler's hanging on top of the ladder and grabs the case. I could totally see that. I also think maybe Cena's knee's going to come into play here. They haven't been doing too much with it lately, but they bring it up just enough just to keep it in the back of your head. So I could see either one of those two scenarios playing out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather it not. I'd rather it be a situation where Ziggler can somehow go over Cena. I know it's a ladder match, so it can't really technically be clean. There's going to be weapons used and a lot of bullshit involved, but I'd like to see Ziggler beat Cena, you know, as clean as you can go in a ladder match. I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see minimal involvement from other people involved. I wrote an article on that you can find on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com about Dolph Ziggler winning this match with help from the Shield. That was my original prediction because the whole scenario is kind of unfair to Dolph Ziggler at this point, you know, being put up against Cena for the briefcase, which I believe has only happened where they've had matches for the briefcase a couple times in history.
Once.
But I think it was twice. I want to say twice, right? I know Edge defeated Mr. Kennedy for his, and then Rob Van Dam and Shelton Benjamin.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, Van Dam and Benjamin. It was the case versus the IC title. You're right. You're right with that.
I think it's happened twice, and this is only the third time. So I can see how it would be unfair, how the Shield
actually, yeah. Sorry to keep going back to it. You're right. It is three. Matt Hardy, Edge on the Raw Homecoming. Their match was for the Money in the Bank. You're right.
It only happened a few times. So that was my original prediction. I'm going to go back on that now because the Shield has a match on this card. I don't think they're going to have any involvement just for that reason alone. But they seem to have attacked random people like Randy Orton and I believe it was Tyson Kidd the one night. So I want to put it past them to get involved with Cena in some way, shape, or form. But right now, without further ado, we've got my co-host for PWP Radio on the line. It looks like TLD has joined us in a rare appearance right here on Wednesday night. So I'm going to bring TLD.
It's TLD. Yeah. Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Will, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I know the ratings are going to go skyrocketing now that I'm on this show. I know I don't usually appear on this show, but I am here. Look, he's so choked up by it. Exactly. So,
I was laughing.
I mean, choked up by laughing, so whatever it may be. But I'm glad to be here tonight for, I don't even know if the show's called. I'm sorry. I'm just so happy to be here.
That's what I think of you, Will. Just kidding. This is Will. You don't know, but this is
the guy that wants the video show.
This is called Oh You Didn't Know Radio. And once again, if you want to call in and speak to the one and only TLD, who is a wrestling superstar, he's a multi-time tag team champion. He's wrestled in numerous backyards in the Greater Jersey area. So please call in at 760-888-5749 tonight. Your questions to Will TLD Vafitas. He is a superstar. So,
absolutely.
Will, we're talking about what's going on right now in the wrestling business. News and rumors tonight. That's really what we're going on. And we covered CM Punk's injury. We covered John Cena being a little sick. They're dropping or putting on the back burner this angle with AJ. And we talked a little bit about Rey Mysterio and what the deal with him was on Raw. Just taking a little personal time off, busting around, no match of him. We're going to continue on with the show, and we'll get you involved in the conversation. So, John, what do you got next?
All right. Mark your calendars. January 14th, 2013. will be the 20th anniversary show for Monday Night Raw. The original Raw was January 11th, 1993. The 11th falls on a Friday this year. So WWE has decided to do the 20th anniversary show on the 14th. They are already looking to contact some previous talent again. How this is going to be different from Raw 1000 is beyond me. Also, they're looking to start cutting some segments for the show with celebrities as well as old wrestlers with their memories. So look for that on the 14th, which I don't know if that may be the go-home show for the Rumble, depending on if the Rumble's the 20th.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You know what? I didn't even think of that, man. It's great that you brought this up. I didn't even think that it's 20 years of Monday Night Raw. I still remember watching the first one as a kid. That was an exciting time to be a wrestling fan when Monday Night Raw on the air. It was completely different. I couldn't really tell the difference. I was just happy there was more wrestling on. You know, I had on a Monday night, so that made me happy. But it's coming on January 14th, 2013. That's amazing, and it makes me feel really fucking old. And how it'll be different from 2000, I really don't know. They really need, I would say, to not redo things they already did on that show, which was like, you know, The Undertaker and KNT, DX reunion, yada, yada, yada. Have The Rock shirt because it's the Royal Rumble go-home show. Maybe even involve Stone Cold in some way, shape, or form. Do something. What do you think? 20 years of Raw, man. What do you think about it?
Well,
Will,
why not
are you there?
Do like the old school Raw? You know, I mean, like if we're going to go back old school 20 years celebrating, why don't we just go old school Raw? Like we did a couple of years, I remember a couple of years ago we had that old school Raw, which was a really awesome show. So I think we should do that again. I think that would be kind of cool to kind of see that old look to it.
That'd be a good idea, especially if they – imagine if they decided to do it. I know they'd take a smaller house, but what if they decided to do it in the Manhattan Center again? That would be fucking cool.
I don't think they would do that.
I don't think they
knowing
would do that.
Knowing how to get that ring into that arena is not fun. And, you know, in case you never heard the Raw story, you know, they got to basically open the roof up and put the ring in there. The ring is just impossible – to bring a wrestling ring in there. You could tell Ring of Honor that because they do it a lot.
Well, yeah, they bring it up to the elevator. They bring it up to the elevator. It's not impossible. It's just a pain in the ass. But do it one time.
Well, yeah, I mean. Well, Jay, then, you know what? Why don't you contact WWE and say, you know what? I will personally help volunteer and put the ring in the Manhattan Center for you guys.
I have their number. I have their number. I have called Vince McMahon once before. I did not get through to him, and he did not call me back. Sadly, but if you call WWE headquarters, you just say, you know, they ask you who you want to speak with. You say Vince McMahon, and they go transferring to Vince McMahon, and then it starts ringing. You're like, this could really happen right now, but he obviously didn't pick up the phone.
Are you serious?
Yes, what a God. Yeah, you could. I called up.
What is it, like a voice directory?
I've asked to talk to John Laurinaitis before, and I got his secretary, and I told him I was doing a website, and I'd like to get a superstar on the radio show. And I didn't announce this because I didn't want to jinx it. So I'm gonna break the news now. I tried to get somebody for one of the earlier shows, and Mr. Laurinaitis never got back to me. So that was kind of a bummer. But
sorry, man.
To try
too much people power.
I try to call Stephanie McMahon. You could get any of them online, possibly. I mean,
that's
just
awesome.
By the way, I just saw online that the Royal Rumble is actually on the 27th, so it will not be the final game.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It'll be the show, but it's going to be crucial in the build to the Royal Rumble, so I would definitely still have The Rock involved. And that means you could actually have more legends and superstars from years past involved, and not really take away from that go-home show for the Rumble. But, yeah, that's a cool little tidbit. 20 years of Raw, man. That's very interesting. Where
That could be a Ryback Punk match.
Yeah, that'd be big. That'd be absolutely big. I kind of doubt, though, with CM Punk with his injury, that – I don't know, man. Will they have him – it's tough to say. You said he's capable of getting in the ring and wrestling, but do they really want to risk – him with this tender knee getting it.
There is a solution to that. You know, you put him in tag wrestling or six-man tags because that's one thing in wrestling. If someone is unfit to perform, but maybe can still get in the ring and kind of do something, Punk would, you know, that is the perfect spot to do it in because a tag match is always a great way to hide that kind of those small little things. That's why Rey Mysterio, you know, I think has been in a tag team just because he does have that, you know, nagging injuries, and it's good to kind of keep him a little safer by giving him a break a little bit in the ring.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. And especially if there becomes some kind of alliance, like officially with, you know, the Shield, maybe Brad Maddox, CM Punk, that could have title tag scenarios. But, all right.
Well,
so,
yeah, Vince did say though in the statement though that Ryback is gonna get a match with Punk. So, you know, you could probably do it again. Maybe you do it at that 20th anniversary Raw. But they are going to give us the Punk Ryback match at some point, and they would have to do it obviously before the Rumble. So, you know, we'll see when we get it.
All right, John, you said you had a little bit of TNA news. We haven't really gotten into TNA at all tonight, so hit us.
Yeah, I mean, as everyone knows, TNA is cutting out two pay-per-views, the March and the September ones, and a lot of people were kind of wondering why and wondering if there was financial issues with TNA. There actually isn't any financial issues right now with them, but they are being what's been termed as being smart with their money now. With makes this interesting is that they're going to save the money that they spend on a pay-per-view because they really don't make any money in that little studio at Universal Studios because they don't charge to get in. So they're going to save money from a production cost. The next thing that starts to come up now is that they're really not planning to throw money out like they have in the last couple of years. So it makes you wonder, guys that have deals coming up, Ken Anderson, RVD, You may start to see some of those guys disappear now because of the fact that TNA is going to be cutting back some money, and I think the pay-per-view thing is a great move. It makes matches more important. It lets you build storylines a little longer. So we'll see how it works out, and maybe we can do away with a No Mercy or an Over the Limit, something like that in the future. What do you guys think?
Well, this is what I think about it, and this is what I would do. I heard this news sometime last week, and it's still a hotbed topic, but why not build up to, like, one Super Show Impact to kind of take the place of that pay-per-view? Say, you could even call it Against All Odds or whatever the fuck you're going to call it, whatever stupid name TNA has for their shows. Make it, you know, TNA Impact, brother, Against All Odds. We're going to have a pay-per-view quality show, dude, right here on Spike TV. And maybe Spike will even go as far as to have, like, limited commercial breaks or whatever. And they could book it as if and build it up as if they were doing a pay-per-view, but put it on free TV. Try to spike the rating. Give us a world title match. Put all the belts on the line. Don't do corny-ass gut check segments or have, you know, bullshit, whatever, bullshit faces and ace shit all over the card. Make it mean something. Make it happen. Put it on free TV. Help spike the rating. And even use it to kind of build towards your next pay-per-view show. Because I like the idea of less pay-per-views. Ever since, you know, the 90s, during the Monday Night War, when WCW and WWE kept upping the ante, and it just became, you know, too many shows for the average Joe to buy every month. You know, less pay-per-views, you're going to get hopefully a bigger buy rate on a bi-monthly basis, whatever it's going to be. And a lot of these talents that you mentioned, John, I mean, we see RVD sparingly now that he's finally got a belt. He kind of is on every week. But when was the last time you really saw Ken Anderson in anything that meant anything on Impact? You know, he's a guy that's a, simply a WWE reject that nobody I know wants to see. He was over for fucking 2 minutes, and now he's a nobody. So he's a guy you should cut. Get him out of here. There's a fucking boatload of guys you need to cut. And I'm ranting. I can go on about TNA all night. So, Will, what do you think, man?
Well, are you done yet on the rant? I'll let you keep going.
I probably will.
Okay.
I need a drink.
Okay. So, Here's the problem with running pay-per-view. The idea that you have is good, but the problem is they kind of already do Championship Thursday and, you know, Gut Check and, you know, they already got, like, these themes to their shows. So, honestly, if they were to come out with one of those, I wouldn't take it seriously anymore because it's kind of already happening. So, if anything, I like the idea of cutting down the pay-per-views. I think it's going to make Lockdown very important. And TNA's doing the right thing by not, you know, right now I'm sure they had a contract where they couldn't get out of it and they just had to keep going with it. But now if they're going to be out of that contract and say, okay, well, I want to do it every couple of months, then absolutely. I think their money is in their television, and I'm sure their money is, you know, going around and, you know, getting these local house shows. You know, and do they have to get rid of some of the talent that's been there? I mean, Mr. Anderson's not being used at all, and he could definitely, you know, they could definitely save a paycheck. They don't use him. So just take him out of there, you know, unless you have him with the Aces and Eights. Other than that, I don't think you need him in there. I think TNA is doing the right thing by cutting down the pay-per-views, and it's going to make these pay-per-views seem very important. Not to mention, they can now travel for all these pay-per-views since now they're saving the money. So now when they have these pay-per-views, each one of them is going to always be outside the impact zone. And that makes it special.
Is that true, though? I really don't see them doing that. The impact zone is a place that they will run whenever they're afraid they're not going to draw a crowd. And it's not always guaranteed. It's not always guaranteed that they will take a pay-per-view on the road and it will draw a big crowd. Right?
Because Jay,
go ahead. Let me just say this real quick. I went to in a Hard Justice, I think it was 2008, I want to say, or 2006, I can't remember. And it was in Trenton, New Jersey. And, dude, that place was practically empty. There wasn't that many people in there. They didn't fill it, not even close. And it makes me worry because from some of the houses I hear that they draw on house shows, I don't know if people would necessarily buy every single pay-per-view or go to every single pay-per-view on the road outside of Orlando.
Here's the thing with that. And I'm not a TNA guy. Yeah, I'm sure you know that, you guys know that just by hearing me talk about them when I talk about them and also reading what I write. I'm not a TNA guy, so I'm going to preface it by saying that. But if you look at where that company's gone in the last even 2 years, when they've taken shows on the road, Bound for Glory in Philadelphia, Bound for Glory in Phoenix. They did one of the shows in Atlanta when they did those TV tapings in Atlanta when Rude won the title. When they go to the UK, those shows do phenomenal. They actually do. The house shows are garbage because no one works the house shows. I'm not going to see a main event of, you know, I don't know, RVD and Garrett Bischoff against two guys from Aces and Eights, you know, when that's the main event. I'm not going to see that. Sting doesn't work house shows. A lot of the big names don't work house shows. And the ones that are advertised don't show up. We had the Flair incident here in Brooklyn when he was supposed to come to the Cyclone Stadium, never showed up. But that's a whole other different issue. They could probably – the impact zone is going to be the death of them. And the counterpoint I always get from people is, well, look at the ECW arena. All right. First of all, people paid to get into the ECW arena. Those people that you see on Impact don't pay to get in. It's all covered as your admission to go into Universal Studios. So you're not paying to get in. So there's no ticket revenue. It's the same crowd. It's the same people. You're not exposing people to your product. So whatever those five or six people in that front row deem is over is what TNA is going to push because apparently they like it. Whereas you take it to other arenas, you can experiment with stuff, and you could really find out, do people like this? Do people like that? Is that more of a local thing? And it works. They could, you know, I just think they can draw. They just don't have the money, and that's what's going to be the death of them. The fact that they've run the impact zone for all this time and not generating any money has hurt them. The fact that they wasted so much money on so much wasted talent has hurt them. That's going to be where TNA is going to either live or die in the next couple of years, and they need to get out of Orlando. They do.
Well, that's why you see cheesy advertisements all over the ring, because that's the only way they're pulling in any money for those impact shows besides for TV ratings, revenue, whatever. That's the only way they're pulling in any money inside the building. I'm not counting concessions or T-shirt sales or whatever. You get the same crowd in there every week. They're not going to buy a fucking T-shirt every single
week. That's what I was
week.
Just going to say.
It's not going to happen.
The same crowd eventually has the same has the merchandise after a while.
Well,
I was just going to say that. And
I'll tell you what real quick about your house show point. I went to a TNA house show a little over a year ago. It was in Rahway, New Jersey, and it was headlined by Kurt Angle against Mr. Anderson. Now, at the time, I wasn't really watching TNA that much, so I didn't even realize who the heel or the face was. Turned out Anderson was the face, Kurt Angle was the heel, but the last time I watched, Angle was the face, Ken Anderson was the heel, so I was confused. But the problem I had with the show, you had the big stars. You had Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett was on the show. They wrestled each other. Bobby Roode was on. This was right before he went into Bound for Glory against Kurt Angle. James Storm was there. He wrestled Bully Ray and whatnot. So there was star power on the show. But the issue I had with it was very, very predictable. You kind of knew nothing exciting was going to happen. The wrestlers just went through the motion. They ran one little angle with Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. But my point is that, you know, taking Impact, the TV show, on the road is something that they must do. And you're absolutely right, John. This Orlando crowd is killing the product. It kills the excitement. It's just your typical smart mark bullshit crowd that isn't even really that smart from what I see. They ruin it. They don't make it fun to watch at all. But you got a point, man. Whenever they go out on the road for Impact, the crowd is excited. The crowd is pumped. The crowd is into it. And it makes me wonder why they don't try to use venues like the Hammerstein Ballroom here on the East Coast or other small. There's a ton of small arenas out there that you can fill up. That the place would be jacked up for Impact Wrestling.
Trust me, Nassau Coliseum is going to be begging for anything to go in there now that the Islanders are leaving. You know what? You mean to tell me you couldn't sit there and go try to work out a deal with them? WWE will have no problem giving up the Nassau Coliseum. Heck, they used to run Nitro and Raw there. The only place WWE has the exclusive agreement with is MSG. Go get the Nassau Coliseum. Go get one of the Jersey arenas, the Barclays or the Izod. Test it out. See how much of that you can fill.
I guarantee if
you did it for an Impact taping or a pay-per-view, you would fill the Nassau Coliseum, hands down.
And if you put Hogan on the bill, in Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum, people will go to that show. He doesn't have to rush. They'll go there to see Hogan.
Yeah.
Well,
I
got to be honest. I don't 100% agree with that because Bound for Glory in Philadelphia did not fill up as many seats as you think. I was there, and half of that arena was not there.
How much does that arena fill?
It didn't fill half of it.
Well, how many seats was that arena?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what the arena name was. It was a college. It was at the college, university. I forget which one it was. I would say there wasn't more than 2,000 people there.
Oh, man.
That's
like a Ring of Honor.
That was Hogan's Sting. Yeah, that was Hogan's Sting.
Yeah. Right. And Bobby, you know, it just
Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle.
I mean, you can ask. I went with Eric and I went with Will, and it just, man, it was really, really upsetting to know that that happened. It was a pretty bad, attendance for what I thought was going to be. The capacity, I think, in that arena says 10,000 people. So I would say half of the arena showed up, and some of the top
was bad.
So, and this is Hulk Hogan versus Sting. If you can't, in Philadelphia, in a North American environment where Sting does not visit that often, I mean, I have to be honest, I was very surprised that half that arena wasn't filled. And knowing that, watching the Phoenix of this year, they filled that up a lot more. So it's clear.
Yeah, 10,000, Will.
Yeah, that there is no.
That's bad.
That's amazing. I just don't get it, you know, why that did not turn out the way it did. And plus, I'm sure they gave away a lot of free tickets on top of it.
I'll tell you why right now. Nobody fucking knows that it's going on. I have friends of mine who watched wrestling, 10 years ago during the Attitude Era that still keep up with WWE from here and there. You know, they'll tune into Raw, check it out. And just a couple weeks ago, one of my friends asked me, hey, where's Kurt Angle? I was watching Raw. Where was Kurt Angle? Where was Jeff Hardy? Guys like this. I go, oh, they're wrestling over at TNA. What's TNA? I swear to God, people still don't have any idea what this brand is, and that is fucking sad. You know, I brought up the point once before that they made their biggest mistake when Samoa Joe was the champ, and the place was pretty much on fire at the time. The shows were really good. Samoa Joe just beat Kurt Angle in an awesome match. Why wasn't Samoa Joe out doing media, press conferences, whatever, out on Jay Leno's show, doing whatever to try to get the TNA brand and name out there? They never do it. I saw Hogan on ESPN about a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, whatever, and he not one mention of TNA wrestling, not one.
That's the problem right there. Hogan, yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that Hogan has done some sort of press, some sort of media, and does not mention TNA. And if I'm Dixie, if I'm the Carters, I am like, you got to make that mandatory with him. You got to tell him you need to start mentioning the company more when you start doing these appearances. I'm shocked at that.
Yeah, he was on three separate ESPN shows that day, and I watched them all because I'm a Hogan mark, just like we all are growing up in the 80s and 90s. But I watched them all. Not one mention of TNA on any of them. And for the most part, the only thing he really talked about wrestling related was body slamming Andre the Giant in 1987. Like, come on, you know, it's today. It's TNA is the company where you work. You're supposed to be the Vince McMahon of TNA or the Dana White or whatever. You're a backstage influence. You're the main guy in the show. You call the shots from what it seems like, especially in the beginning when you had your buddies like the Nasty Boys and fucking Jimmy Hart running around. They had no business being on TV, you know, ridiculous. And you're not giving press. You're the biggest star the business has ever fucking seen, and you're not doing anything to get more eyes onto the show. And
you know
I
what the telling story about TNA? I'm sorry,
nope.
Jay. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'll go. You got to blame Dixie. You got to blame Spike TV. You got to blame the previous people who were in the book committee, Vince Russo, Jeff Jarrett, all those idiots, Dutch Mantel. They have not produced enough buzz for this company outside the wrestling bubble. You got to get outside that bubble. And you don't want negative press. You don't want TMZ. You don't want Hulk Hogan sex tapes. You don't want any of that bullshit. You want to get out there and get that WWE audience that doesn't watch your show, get that WWE audience that used to bump the combined rating to almost a 10 in the late 90s. You want to try to get that audience back. And you're not going to do it with just a little bit of press, a little bit of publication that you have, and you're not going to do it by doing the same old shit, which they've been doing for way too long. All right, I'm done. John, go ahead.
Okay, here's the thing. First of all, I will say this for Spike TV. Spike pushes Impact. They do. That's the one thing Spike does. They do push Impact, but they're the only thing that pushes Impact. Here's what I was going to say. This is the telling story of where Hogan, any connection of where Hogan is right now. When the sex tape came out, there was never one mention of that he was connected with TNA, which I know you could say, well, that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, because if this would have happened the other way around, or if this would have happened with Cena, WWE would be mentioned in it. And while, yes, that's bad press, it's the fact that people associate, okay, John Cena, WWE, Randy Orton, WWE. When Kurt Angle has all his problems, it's ex-WWE star. When Jeff Hardy had his problems, ex-WWE star. It's never current TNA star, which, like I said, I know that's a good thing because you're not getting bad press, but it's also a bad thing because it's like, where are these guys? No one is able to connect them.
I'm going to mention a little tidbit I actually heard on the radio today. I was listening to a WMMR radio in Philly, and they were talking about how celebrity chef Robert Irvine, who is married to Gail Kim, talking about how he is donating $10,000 to this hurricane relief effort. And they mentioned Robert Irvine, celebrity chef, married to WWE diva Gail Kim. Now, this was on the video today, and they called her WWE diva Gail Kim.
Nice.
That's today. So that drives your point home, John, that they don't even know Gail Kim isn't in the WWE anymore. She's a WWE diva.
Yeah.
You know, she's married to a celebrity chef. She was on, I'm going to admit it, I watch these Food Network shows sometimes with my girlfriend, and she was on a show.
Oh, my God.
Well, she was on a show with Robert Irvine, and guess what they called her?
Never mind.
WWE Divas.
WWE Divas, yeah, that's
the problem with TNA. That's the main problem. Nobody knows that the company exists outside the wrestling bubble. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's your problem right there. That's the problem.
Well, John, we got 10 minutes left in the show. You got any other big wrestling news or rumors going on at the moment?
Let me see. Let me have a little list on my phone here. Let me see if we covered everything. I kind of touched on this last week, but I'll bring it up again as a reminder. Tomorrow night is the next NXT tapings. Seth Rollins is expected to drop the belt tomorrow night. The rumored name is Corey Graves, has taken the title from him, who's been working dark matches, I believe, against Ted DiBiase Jr. over the weekend. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with it, if they tie in any of the Shield stuff with it, or if they just kind of let him go about his business and then kind of bow out of NXT that way. There's probably no plans to write off Roman Reigns, although it will be interesting again to see if Reigns and Ambrose maybe accompany Rollins for the title defense. So you got that going on tomorrow night. So look for spoilers on that. I think Big Show's scheduled to be at that show, as well as I think Kevin Nash is going to be down there. So that should be interesting. The other thing I wanted to bring up, it seems the latest thing that's in fashion is to tell stories of yesteryear all these years later on Twitter. You had Tyler Rex come out of the woodwork telling a Cena story earlier this week. You had Ken Donane chipping in his 2 cents again. And the one that, I got to be honest with you, and I want to see what you guys think about it, the one that really kind of upset me the most, and I was like, why are you bringing this up now, is Kevin Matthews. Why are you bringing stuff up 5-6 years later? What do you guys think of this whole digging up old dirt, you know, after all this time and going public and what the intentions are?
Talking about the Bill DeMont stuff?
Yeah.
Well, that's been a constant for Kevin Matthews for a long time. If you've been listening to the way he talked about Bill DeMont, he does not have one positive thing to say about him. Excuse me. And every once in a while, when he wants to stir shit up, that's his fallback plan. That's what he does. But I'm not sure what he said recently. I know he talked about him in the past time and time again. But what was he really talking about recently?
Now he's getting really detailed in stuff that went on at DSW, Deep South, which has been closed. That hasn't been a developmental territory for them, for at least 4 years, if not longer.
Yeah.
His new, and he's doing like hour-long interviews, just ranting and raving about DeMont. And it's just like, I know that's been his thing, but it's like it just seems like now his new quote is, "I'm gonna keep going because I need to put this out there." And it's like, well, why didn't you need to me? It just seems like, why didn't you need to put this out 5-6 years ago when it happened? Why now? You know, same thing with Ken Donane, who. When did he get released? 07, 08?
Yeah.
You know, and even Rex, who's been gone for almost, 6 months now. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just think if you got something to say, say it when it's relevant, not dig it up all these years later.
No,
I guess
it's
and he
not
posted
you.
A picture. He posted a picture of, like, them training naked and stuff like that down at, again, at, like, DSW. And Deep South, like I said, has been closed for... I want to say 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's posting a picture of training naked. That's ridiculous. The Ken Doan thing, that's directly related to John Cena's divorce. And he's just pissed off because John Cena was fucking his girlfriend, Mickie James, down in WWE back then. That's why he's pissed. But I actually called, I don't know if anybody saw this over the summer, but I called that asshole out on Twitter. I tweeted him, and literally I was just bored one day. And was trying to get a rise out of Ken Doan, and I basically was calling him a has-been, and it never was, and it never will be, because he is just somebody who didn't make it, and the reason why he didn't make it is because he does stupid bullshit like this. And I called him out on Twitter, and he responded to me, and I had gotten some heat from a couple other people who were taking his side and throwing these keyboard warrior insults at me, but my whole thing with it was, get the fuck out of John Cena's business. You know, John Cena's getting a divorce. He's the most he's the most high-profile star in the wrestling business. The divorce was public. It was on TMZ. What the fuck do you got to put your 2 cents in it for anymore? You don't even wrestle. Bro, get the fuck out of here, you know? And I told him how I felt. And a lot of people did. A lot of people were with me on it. And that's my feeling on Ken Doan. That guy's got to just leave it be. Just go away. And I feel kind of the same about Tyler Rex. I mean, he's a guy that stepped away from the business on his own. He completely stepped away. And now he's going to come out and talk shit about John Cena taking his finishing move or whatever. I don't even know what the fuck it was. What was he saying? That he used
the axe handle or something, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And John Cena pulled him aside and said, "Who gave you permission to use that move?" Yada, yada, yada. Big fucking deal. He's John Cena. Bigger star than Tyler Rex would have ever been in WWE. Tyler Rex would have never been a big star whatsoever, no matter what. He was not even that good at all, okay? And he left on his own. So what the fuck? Why is he going to even try to dig up some dirt right now? Is he feeling froggy? Is he just trying to get his name out there? You know what I mean? I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, me either. And like I said, I don't even get where Matthews is coming from, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what Kevin Matthews is trying to do, I think, and that's trying to get Pro Wrestling Syndicate out there a little bit more. He's the trainer, one of the head trainers, along with Pat Buck at their wrestling school. He's been the two-time Pro Wrestling Syndicate champion, and they happen to be one of the biggest, independent wrestling companies going on the East Coast right now. And I'm actually attending their show this coming Friday night, and I want to get a plug out there. PWS is going to be in Metuchen, New Jersey, this coming Friday. I'll be in the house, and so will a who's who of wrestling's past, present, and future. You got matches like Mantar is going to make his return to the ring. When was the last time anybody has seen Mantar? Will, when was the last time you saw Mantar?
Probably on WWE television, or every time I turn on the 1995 Royal Rumble.
There you go. Yeah, Mantar is going to be taking on El Matador, Tito Santana. By the way, Will, do you feel like going Friday? You want to meet us in Metuchen Friday night?
Well, let me guys see what I kind of told the girlfriend to kind of hang out with her, but I will try to convince her to go to a wrestling show because I'm the guy who's driving, so she should go where I tell her.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I like that. That's the way it should be. But we got Tito Santana, El Matador. He'll be in that El Matador gimmick for the first time since he left WWE with the gimmick versus Mantar. Brutus the Barber Beefcake was just added to the show. He will be in attendance. The Honky Tonk Man will also be there. I'm pretty pumped to meet the Honky Tonk Man. You know, I just watched him. He was one of the best heels growing up. Cole Cabana is going to be there. I'm interested to talk to him about his finger. He had a nasty finger surgery. If you haven't seen a picture of his finger, if you're squeamish, don't go look at it. But if you want to, go follow him on Twitter, at Colt Cabana.
If there's anyone that deserves a deal next year, it's Cabana. It's criminal that he's not on either one of those shows.
Sadly, his career is in jeopardy due to this finger surgery. You got to go see his finger.
I've seen the picture. It's that bad?
It's disgusting, yeah. Yeah,
I've seen the picture, but his career is really in jeopardy from it.
It was, yeah. I'm not sure how the surgery went. We'll see how this thing heals, but you got to think that just that finger alone. Just think about what that finger alone really affects what you're capable of doing. But we got 90 seconds left in the show. I'm gonna card a little bit more. You got Kevin Matthews versus Matt Hardy, who is the current PWS heavyweight champion. They'll be in a casket match. Matt Hardy will have Rebby Sky along with her. The one and only Shelly Martinez will be the special guest commissioner for the night. Jerry Lynn will be in attendance. Anthony Nese will be on the card. And the big match, time ever match, Goldust will be taking on Sami Callihan in Metuchen this Friday night. And it's gonna be a great show. Starman will be there, who's been on this show before. And
Yes, he has.
Character. But we've got a couple seconds left, and any final words, guys?
Yeah, go to TLDWrestling.com.
All right, go to TLDWrestling.com. Will, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. This is two nights of radio in a row for you guys. Thanks a lot, John. You were great tonight with the news. And Seth will be back next week, from what I understand, hosting Oh You Didn't Know. I'll be back on Tuesday night on the main show, PWP Radio. We'll have episode number 17. Not quite sure what we're going to go with yet, but I'll
be on Tuesday, not Wednesday.
All right, John, that sounds great. But for John and Will, this is Jersey Strong Jay coming at you. And keep it real, folks. Thanks a lot for listening.
Later. Keep it real.